السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله My noble audience, brothers, sisters, dear children and mu'takifin Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we have once again arrived at the end of the month of Ramadan. In a few days, the month of Ramadan will announce its departure. And then we will speak once again that the month of Ramadan passed too quick. That's what everyone's going to say. So, Ramadan itni jaldi guzar gaya. So the month of Ramadan came and it left us. And basically this statement echoes immediately after the month of Ramadan or in the last few days and nights of the month of Ramadan. And indeed this is a reality. We have been sent at a time where time is slipping in such a manner that we have no grasp upon it. In the early days, when we study the legacies of our profound personalities, we come to know that they used to spend time in such a manner that they had a grasp on every minute. So they used to inject something in their time. But nowadays we find that we do not have the ability to inject in our own time, and time is slipping. If you just look back, you will realize that many of us came in this country 15, 20 years ago, and it seems like we arrived yesterday. And 15, 20 years is a big chunk of our life. So basically, a healthy life is up to about 60 or 70, and after that is sicknesses. So 15 years is a big chunk. One rubber, one quarter of our life is gone. And if we look back, how many Ramadans have come and how many Ramadans have left, and the memories of those months are very, very fresh. It is just like it happened yesterday. Now there's a few things that I want to share in the few moments that I have. Right now the mind has been programmed, right now, in the last few days, especially after Khatme Qur'an. The mind is programmed to focus upon the next major event. And the next major event is Eid. And Eid basically is an announcement that the month of Ramadan has come to an end. So the mind is programmed to switch off. So many women already are discussing what to wear on Eid day, what to cook on Eid night. And many men have put the order to their wives that kheer banni chahiye ya semiya banni chahiye. What is to be cooked early morning. And we're thinking about who to invite and what the venue should be, so on and so forth. And basically all these discussions in the last few days and nights of the month of Ramadan take us away from what is significant, what is most important. I can say without any hesitation that in many, many Muslim countries, they have the Eid night celebrations. And that Eid night celebration is basically organized, controlled by the shaitan. It is organized and controlled by the shaitan from the start till the end. The month of Ramadan has not ended, and people have switched off and have handed themselves over to the shaitan. Karlo jo karna. Alhamdulillah, we are safeguarded from that in Australia, and safeguarded in many, many Western countries. this fitna has not come to our shores. But still, at a level, we do switch off. So I want to draw the attention of my crowd to the final night that is known as Laylatul Jaizah. But before we speak about that, I was thinking how to present this notion. And Allah put it in my mind that when we're given an exam, and many of us have given exams, so the mumtahin, he says that the time to write is 3 hours, and after 3 hours, I will pass through the aisles and collect the papers. So when 2 hours, 30 minutes pass, the bell rings. And this bell rings to indicate you've only got half an hour. Now myself and yourself, in that half an hour, we intensify. Our speed of writing increases. Speed of writing increases. And whatever is in the mind, we want it to be printed on the paper. And then when the person is passing through the aisles and collecting the paper, we say, give us one more minute, one more minute, one more minute. Go to the other person. And on your return, you can collect the paper. How many times we've done that? That same behavior approach should be taken when it comes to the month of Ramadan. That the last 10 nights, the first night of I'tikaf, the 21st, is the ringing of the bell. Meaning that you've only got 10 days and 10 nights left. And the Khatm-e-Quran is where the mumtahin has stood up, the person walking through the aisles collecting the paper. Now we should be saying, no, 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 not yet, not yet. What we did not do, what we did not say, what we did not read in the first 27, 28 days, we're trying to do it right now. We're trying to maximize in the last few hours of this month. But what we see and what we do is very different than what I'm saying. We switch off. So the Nabi of Allah knows the psyche of a human being. That after 27, 28 days, a person wants to relax. And that's why they say that a person attains mastery and perfection in anything when he does it for 40 days. Because after 20 days to 35 days, a person wants to relax. If a person remains steadfast, that's where he will be rewarded. And that's why the Nabi of Allah says that if you pray for 40 days, without missing the takbir at tahreema, you'll be punctual in the prayers. Those that do not pray with punctuality, they can try this out. After 20 days is easy. But after 20 to 35, that's where they will struggle. Because then it becomes routine. And a person loses that kick, that enthusiasm, that zeal. So basically these few nights, according to human nature, are those nights where we drop our guard, where we relax. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understanding the psyche, he says that this is Laylatul Jaizah. So after the Khatm Quran, after discussing what we are going to do on Eid Day and where we are going to go on Eid Day and what we are going to eat on Eid Day, there is one night that still is there. That is more powerful than all the nights that we have enjoyed in the month of Ramadan. It's more powerful than all the nights that we have enjoyed. It's basically the night in which we present the entire package. When we open our fast, the fast at Maghrib, we are presenting the package of the day. So we fast for one day, we present the package, we say, Ya Allah, this is the fast of 12 hours, Ya Allah, accept it, we're making dua. But Laylatul Jaizah is presenting the entire package. 29 or 30 days, 29 or 30 days of fasting, 29 or 30 days of Taraweeh, we are presenting in front of Allah Almighty. And we want the reward. And that's why the hadith indicates that this night, the last night, let's say Eid is on Monday. Let's say Eid is on Monday. That night between Sunday and Monday morning is Laylatul Ja'izah. And that is the night where Allah announces so many gifts. He announces so many gifts. And basically, the theme is of that entire discussion between the Malaika and Allah on that night is, what should be the reward of the employee that has rendered his service, that has done his service, 29 or 30 days. And the Malaika say he should be paid in full. Now Allah is ready to pay, but we have switched off. So basically we do not want to be rewarded for the 29 or 30 days. So the reward each day will be very, very small compared to the reward at the end. That is the bonus. So when a person collects his wage every day, let's say 8 hours a day, $20 an hour, $160 at the end of the day he receives. And he says that to his master, or to his boss, he says that this is very little. He says, don't worry. At the end, I will give you a bonus. Wo bonus aapko bahut khush karega. When I give you that bonus, you'll be very, very happy. This Laylatul Ja'izah is the bonus. That's why Laylatul Ja'izah means the prize given night. Prize given, not wage. It's a prize. There's a difference between wage and prize. This is a prize given night. And a prize is something that we do not know. So children go into a competition. One comes what, first child, second, third, fourth. They do not know what they're going to get. Because it's not a wage, it's going to be a prize. So the organizers, according to their ability, their resources, will buy a gift, a prize. The prize that we are going to get at the end of the month of Ramadan is selected by Allah. And basically that prize is the greatest. And that is the pleasure and the grace of Allah. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. The grace of Allah, the rida of Allah is the greatest. And that's why at the end of the hadith, Allah Almighty says, when we will disperse at the Eidgah, Allah Almighty will say, I am pleased with you. I am pleased with you. Go now, disperse. I am pleased with you. And basically this being pleased with us translates to radiyallahu anhum radu an. This translates to radiyallahu anhum radu an. So my noble brothers and sisters and dear children, intensify your effort. Exert yourself even further in these few nights and few days. Don't switch off. This was the first message. Second message. There are so many things on my chest because being here for the last so many, 2 decades I can say. There's a lot of things I want to share. But sometimes I feel that my congregation is not ready to hear. So I have to know that if I want to relate a message, my congregation has to be ready. So if Allah wills, I may touch upon that at the end. But I would like to make mention of the hadith that has been recorded by Imam Abu Dawood on the authority of Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala. That gives us an insight to the richness and the importance of the day of Eid. So Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, he says, قَدِمَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمَدِينَةِ. The Nabi Akareem Sallam came to Medina. So he migrated from Makkah to Medina. وَلَهُمْ يَوْمَانْ يَلْعَبُونَ فِيهِمَا. And his observation was that the people killed the Mashimil Agewit. So there were 2 days. There were 2 selected, designated days. And the Nabi of Allah's observation was, وَلَهُمْ يَوْمَانْ يَلْعَبُونَ فِيهِمَا. That people were wasting the time, playing, enjoying, create a bonfire, sit around the bonfire, gossip. People were drinking, people were sacrificing animals in the name of idols, so on and so forth. وَلَهُمْ يَوْمَانْ يَلْعَبُونَ فِيهِمَا. Now this kind of celebration was against the mizaj of Islam. Because the mizaj of Islam, the temperament of Islam is you are allowed to rejoice once you make an achievement. Once you do something. If we study Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, We're not celebrating the achievements of our predecessors. We celebrate because we have achieved something. From the teachings of and from the maqasid of Eid, we can understand that if somebody achieves a goal in life, he should be rewarded. So Allah Almighty says, you fast 29 days, reward yourself. The first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are the best days in the entire year, even greater than the days of Ramadan. I made mention of that in the past. So reward yourself on Eid al-Adha. Show your loyalty and your allegiance to Allah Almighty. So basically Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, and celebrations come after we exert ourselves and we present a package. And Allah says, all right, I have given you the chip to rejoice, rejoice. So the Nabi of Allah observed, and these people were playing around, khel tamasha kar rahe the. Qala alayhi salatu wasalam, ma hadan al-yawman, what are these 2 days about? So the Nabi of Allah was disturbed, what is all this? And the Sahaba said, kunna nal'ab fil jahiliyyah, that we used to play like this in the days of ignorance. And that's what we're doing right now. So in the days of ignorance, before Islam came to us, before you came to Madinatul Munawwara, this is how we used to celebrate. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, قَدْ أَبْدَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمَا يَوْمَ الْأَضْحَى وَيَوْمَ الْفِطْرِ. I'm going to replace your days of celebration with 2 days of celebration that will be adorned with spirituality. This is my translation. I'm going to replace your 2 days of faqat celebration, only celebration, where you are only entertaining your base self, only addressing your whims and wishes, with 2 days of celebration where you will address the chip that urges you to rejoice, but it is going to be adorned with spirituality. Yawm al-Adha wa Yawm al-Fitr. It is the day of Eid al-Adha and it is the day of Fitr. So basically, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha is a day in which we demonstrate the mizaj and the temperament of our religion. And I've said this many a times before, the month of Ramadan has come to change our habits, not to place a pause on our habits. So it's just like we touch that pause button and we're back to normality after the month of Ramadan. No, no, no. The day of Eid is the day of demonstration. Now what was on my heart I want to share with you. And this is something that has come into my mind. And I want you to think about it. Many minds can come to a conclusion and something that is concrete. The Nabi of Allah, the hadith is of Bukhari. The Ravi is Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. The Nabi of Allah says, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ عِيدٍ خَالَفَ الطَّرِيقِ. إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ عِيدٍ خَالَفَ الطَّرِيقِ. On the day of Eid, select a different route. So meaning you go from one route, you come back from another route. True? I want you to think about the statement of the Nabi of Allah. He's addressing the people in Madinatul Munawwara, the Sahaba. Islam has been established. There are many, many hidden and open enemies in Medina. Hidden and open enemies. Hidden, munafiqun. Open enemies, Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nadir, Banu Qurayda, so on and so forth. They need to see our might. They need to see our power. We're talking about Medina. They need to see our power. So the Nabi of Allah says, In kud dakhaw. Just like Ramal, when the Sahaba went to perform Umrah, the Nabi of Allah said, pop out your chest. Now this is against the Quranic injunction. Because the Quran says that when you walk, walk with humility. But the people of Makkah came up with this understanding that the Sahaba have gone to Medina and they have become weak. So the Nabi of Allah says, pop out your chest and show them that you are still strong. So in Madinatul Munawwara, the understanding was by the non-believers, Jazakumullah, that we are larger in number. We have the strength, we have the power, we have the muscle. Nabi Akrim says, ان کا یہ جو گمان ہے نا اس کو ختم کرنا ہے. They understand and we have to destroy it. So now everyone go to the Eidgah. One Eidgah. Not multiple places, one Eidgah. Go together to one Eidgah from one root. So the people on that root that have this wrong concept can be addressed by the masses moving. And come from another root. So the people on that root will understand that no, these people are large in number. Now this was the maqsad of this hadith. Let's apply it now. And before applying it now, let me draw your attention to the story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam. I may take a few more minutes. I didn't think it will take this long. The vessel is moving through the waters. What does Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam do to the vessel? He breaks it into pieces. He breaks it into pieces. A fine vessel, he breaks it into pieces. Why? Because en route, in the distance, the thieves, if they find that the vessel is of poor condition, then they will let it go. But if it passes in a perfect condition, it will be looted. Understanding the harm and the danger that is in front, deliberately as a Khizr destroys the vessel. And his plan works and it passes through. Now keep that in mind, keep Madinatul Munawwara in mind. What is the concept of people outside? This was on my chest. What is the concept of people outside? That we want to implement Sharia. And Muslims are growing in number. They are placing restrictions on immigration in this country for Muslims now. We understand that. And we are going in large, large numbers to one place. And showing them our might and our number. And I want you to think about this. If one Muslim is a non-Muslim is in Garden City, they may see one or two Muslims. One, two Muslim sisters with the hijab. We say there's only a few. But think about it, on Monday morning, there'll be thousands of people traveling on that road. And there'll be thousands of Muslims traveling on that road as well. It is going to confuse them even further. Now I'm not saying that we shouldn't go to the Eidgah, but I'm just putting this notion to you to think about it. What are they going to think? Whoa, Muslims are large, large number. Hor sharait lagao. Bring more restrictions. Bring more laws. Allahu Akbar. We have to understand the mizaj, the connotation, the maqsad why the hadith, the same was made mention of. Now on the other side, we are going to go in large numbers. The Nabi of Allah is saying to the Sahaba, you're going from one route, you're going to come back from the other route, and your movement, the masses are moving from one route, coming back from another route. You have to display your akhlaqiyat. The Nabi of Allah was very confident that when the Sahaba will move from one route and come from back from another route, their movement, their action, their behavior will impress the people that are looking. So let's say we are going in large numbers. This is going to confuse the public. Ye kahan se aage itne log? Who are these people? Ooh. Everyone's going to look like a Muslim. There are so many Muslims. They're going to be more afraid. They're going to be more afraid. And that's why I gave the story of Khizr alayhi salam. Is it time that we break our vessel of messes and reduce the confusion of people and the fear? This is for the ulama, the jayyid ulama to think about. These are a few thoughts in my mind. But what we can do right now, that when we are going, at least uphold the akhlaqiyat. Move in a manner that people have nothing to say about us in regards to the rules of this country. If we are parking in places where we should not park, first of all, they've seen so many people, they're going to conclude the statement by swearing at us and hating us even further. Don't park in places where you should not be parking. Don't run across the road when you don't see the traffic coming, but you don't have any signal to pass the road, cross the road. Wait for the red signal. Be very, very sensible. Be very, very mindful. You know, when a person is driving and the examiner is sitting beside, how do we drive normally? One hand. Sometimes one finger. One finger. Sometimes one hand. But when the examiner is there, looking at the window, we never drive like that afterwards. Once we get the license, never ever drive like that. Right now, we are in our car, going towards the Eidgah, our car of Iman. Everyone is an examiner. All these people that are parking there, you know, on the light, and they stop, they're looking. They're looking at us. We need to be very, very careful. We are driving like this. We are walking like this. There's an examiner, not one examiner. There are so many eyes upon us, dissecting us, looking at us. What are these people? So the first dimension I have made mention related to you is something that we can think about. Second dimension is something that is in place that we practice for so many years in the light of the hadith. So we can do something to make it better. And that is to uphold our akhlaqiyat on that day. Allah Rabbul Izzat give each one of us tawfiq to implement, and Allah Rabbul Izzat allow us to benefit from Laylatul Jaiza. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.